one day, it's been, or 1 hour, I'm sorry. It's going to be a little bit of a crazy week as I get ready to head out to the Great American Truck Show. So we'll see what happens. I would jump in early. If you jump in and press one on your phone right now, you should be able to get through. We'll get started. Here we go.
Your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. I've got a couple things, then we're going to get right to your calls and questions. There's a topic that I really like to help people understand, but I actually avoid it on the radio because it got very frustrating. I had a very hard time getting people to understand this topic, and I would spend a lot of time on it. And when I got off the air, I would get flooded with questions or people saying, oh no, you're wrong, it's like this. Trust me, when I talk about this topic, I'm not wrong. I've been helping people with this since 1990, not long after IFTA came into being. And I was, so what I'm talking about is fuel optimization. And in order to know how to optimize fuel, meaning buying fuel at the absolute best price, you have to understand fuel tax. Not because I care if you understand fuel tax or not, but you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. I used to tell people, look, here's the easy way. Do this, and if you trust me, there are no exceptions. It's right, and it's really simple. And they would do it, and then they would go out, and somebody would say, oh, well, no, that doesn't work in this state, or they're wrong. There are no exceptions. It works in every state. It works in Oregon. It works in the states with this fuel tax surcharge. None of those things matter. But because they didn't understand, they were just listening to what I said, do this, well, then they would start to doubt it. Or they couldn't see the savings, because if you don't understand how fuel tax works, it feels like you're spending more money every time you fuel when you use this system. And people would just stop doing it. And because of that, they're missing out on $3,000 to $5,000 a year in fuel savings. But I couldn't convince anybody. They couldn't see the numbers. It's too hard to explain on the air. And I gave up. And I just really kind of avoided the topic because I couldn't figure out a way to teach it properly on the air so people could understand it. And it's one of those things that as soon as you get this, you're going to say, oh, well, that's really simple. And when people get it, then they look at somebody who doesn't get it and they go, well, you must be an idiot. This is easy. It's not easy until you get it. Once you do, then you'll be one of those people that say, well, why can't you get it? This is simple. It really is. Learning it can be a little difficult, though. And that's why I avoided it. I don't have to avoid it anymore because now I've created a course online. You could go through this course in about an hour, and it's self-paced. You can go through it, you know, any rate you want. Once you buy the course, you have access to it forever. So you can always go back and review, and it will walk you through this topic step by step, show you exactly how to get the very best price by understanding fuel tax. And then people will say, well, I don't need to understand fuel tax. I don't do it, because their carrier files the paperwork for them. That's another big mistake. You do need to understand fuel tax. I don't care if you never file the paperwork. In the course, I'll show you how to file it. It's not hard. But I don't care if you ever file it or if you ever have to deal with fuel tax. You have to understand fuel tax in order to get the best fuel price. And there's a huge savings once you get this. The really exciting thing is at the end of the course, after I get you to understand it, you have your aha moment, and then you can say, oh yeah, I get this, it's easy. Then I give you the real easy button. We've created and partnered with ProMiles and created the Let's Truck version of online fuel optimization. So you don't have to understand this. I want you to, but with our software now online, you can put in your starting point and your ending point, and the software will tell you in real-time pricing right this minute where you should buy your fuel. And it does all the same calculations I teach you how to do. But if you were to try to go do this manually, it can sometimes take as much as 30 minutes to plan a trip. In the course, I actually show you a demonstration of me using the software, and I did it in 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. So I'm excited because we have now two solutions to help with this topic. One is a course. The course is only $15. If you sign up right now, now through the end of GATS, the Great American Truck Show, there is a 33% off coupon, saves you about $5. So you get the course for right around 10 bucks. You can't beat that. You're going to save thousands. The coupon code is Truck Show. I got too many things going on this week. Check out the course. You'll find it at letstruck.com. If you have questions about this, now I'll talk about it on the radio because I have two great solutions now, and I don't have to be so frustrated not being able to explain this the way I want to. So with that, let's get to some phone calls. Let's start off in Georgia. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kevin. I really value your opinion. And I remember calling you back in 2014, being in a bad lease program where I was netting 13 cents a mile. And,
that was you. That's right.
Yeah.
I tell that story again. Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. But after I paid the truck off, I come over to lease on with Landstar. And then, you know, I've been doing good here, been working on a dedicated account, you know, ever since I've been here with Landstar. And now I'm calling you again because I'm about to make another move. I recently filed for my authority, got my DOT and DOT number and my MC number and ready to, and I got getting my insurance into play as of this week, and I'm getting ready to start. And, you know, and also know my numbers, you know, because my equipment is paid off, my operational cost is like 72 cents a mile on my operational cost.
Good.
You know, keeping everything low and keeping everything, working, listening to the podcast religiously and everything. But my question to you is that I'm sort of nervous again. You know, as I made the step from the lease into Landstar, and now I'm going into my own authority. I prepared, you know, did a lot of research, prepared and try to understand everything that I possibly can understand in operating, you know, in operating up under my authority. Now, what do you do when you about to trade upon uncertain territory that kind of relieves your mind in going forth? I mean, you know, right now I'm excited about what's coming up, but I'm also nervous about what's coming up. And
right.
What do you do to prepare for that in that situation?
You may be surprised by my answer. And I do this a lot. I force myself to do this because the only way we grow is to get out of our comfort zone. But first off, let's talk about your history, because I think this is going to help you somewhat. You just told the story about when you were in the lease purchase program. I tell that story because it's a great example, one, of how bad they can really be, but two, how if you do the right things, there is so much opportunity in this industry. And you asked the right questions. You tried some things. You stepped out of your comfort zone. You did the hard work. And you went from the bottom of the heap, 13 cents a mile I wouldn't even call that slave labor. It's so bad. You pulled yourself out of that. You did the hard work. You've put yourself in an awesome position. You know your numbers. You've paid off your equipment. You're profitable. You're happy. Those are all amazing things. Now you're getting ready to take another big leap, which I congratulate you on and I think is awesome. Here's what I do when I'm nervous about stuff like that. Oh, there's the music. I'm going to have to keep you in suspense. I'm not going to tell you what I do until we come back from the break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back, and I'll tell you what I do because I put myself in this situation a lot. You might be surprised by my answer. So we'll get to that right around the corner. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rothberg. The number to join us, 8888 Road Dog. The website, letstruck.com. I think I might as well say this because we're recording, and I know people know our show at night is a recorded show now. So I happen to be recording this on Monday, and the eclipse is happening right now in Oregon. It's pretty awesome. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I'm going to get back to the phones. And I was talking with Steve, and I was keeping him in suspense. So, Steve, here's my big answer. When I feel like this, I do absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Because I want to feel like this. This is actually a good thing. Being nervous is our body's way of saying, this is new. You better pay attention. So it's a way for our body to get our attention. So we're watching what happens. It's no different than, you know, the way we evolved out in the wild. When we felt nervous, there was a reason. And it was to keep us alert and to keep us paying attention. And we can use that today to our advantage. And I know it's uncomfortable. That's what we mean. You're out of your comfort zone. And what you don't want to do, and what a lot of people will do, is they'll fight to get back into their comfort zone. Well, we don't want that. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I get it. I don't like it either. But that's how we grow, and that's how we get better. So you kind of live with the discomfort, and then as you get better and more comfortable with what you're doing, it will go away. And then ultimately, if you want to grow, you have to go through it again. But don't think it's a bad thing. I know it feels bad, but it's really not. It's a very powerful way for us to remember that this is new and we can't operate on autopilot. Like right now, you've been on a dedicated run. you can kind of operate on autopilot most days, can't you? You don't have to really think about what you go through the motions. Well, you can't do that now. Now you've got to be focusing and you've got to be paying attention and you've got to be watching for signs and clues and adjusting. And that's what this anxiety and this nervousness is doing. It's keying your brain and your body up to say, hey, look, this is new. Let's pay attention. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, sir. It does. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So well, when I say doing the hard work, this is part of it because this is a very uncomfortable feeling. And most people will do everything they can to escape feeling like this. And that's why they don't grow. And you have to be willing to be, and you are, because you've done this before. You have to be willing to say, look, I'm just going to have to be uncomfortable. That's how I grow.
Yes. Well, I will definitely keep you posted and keep you updated on the journey. And I appreciate all the information that you give us drivers. And I know that I'm ready for it, but it's just that anxiety. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It is.
And I do
it
appreciate
is.
You so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Congratulations. I'd love to see people do this. Continue to grow, push the limits, learn something new. And what you're feeling is completely normal. And like I said, it's part of doing the hard work. It doesn't feel good, but that's part of it. And that's why so few people succeed, because they're not willing to not feel good. They will do everything they can to escape that feeling. And that's a shame. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Ivan, welcome to the program.
Who did you say, Ivan?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I was turning down my TV. No, thank you very much, Kevin, for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind today?
I think it was last Saturday evening. You were talking to a gentleman, and he was looking about buying a truck. And you said if you were going to buy a new one, you would buy the new Western Star because of their technology and their aerodynamics and whatever. And he said, well, the only problem with that is if I wanted to take it to Pittsburgh Power and get them to tune the engine, it'd be a warranty problem. And I believe you said the warranty isn't an issue as it used to be. And I'll talk to you when I get back off the break. And I never heard the answer. Like, I've got a 2017 DD15, and I'm not getting the fuel mileage that I should be getting. And I talked to Pittsburgh about it, and they said that they've got a program that they can put in the unit, but it would affect my warranty if it was found by the dealer. So I was sort of interested in what that would be.
Yeah, this is a confusing topic. It confuses a lot of people, and it hasn't changed. This is the way warranty has always been, but there's a lot of misunderstanding, and the dealers continue it. I don't even think the dealers really understand the law. There's a law that governs this. The manufacturer can't offer a warranty and then just randomly say, if you do this, we won't honor the warranty. There's very clear language about this. The warranty states that if their equipment, part, engine, whatever we're talking about, fails, and you have to read the warranty, but basically all the truck and engine manufacturers are all the same. If their part or their component fails due to workmanship, quality, whatever, they will replace it. And then they go through all the details about that. Well, just because I don't change my oil at a certain time, or I do something different, or I drive the truck 140 miles an hour, none of those things can void my warranty. The only way a tune or a modification will actually void the warranty, it can happen, but it's not automatic. So let's say that you put the tune in your truck, and let's say that the crankshaft breaks. And at that point, we have to determine why the crankshaft broke. If the crankshaft broke because the crankshaft was faulty, then they can't say, oh, well, you did this, we're not going to cover the warranty. But if they could prove that the tune or the modification caused the crankshaft to break, then it doesn't void your warranty, but your warranty doesn't apply. Their part didn't fail because it was bad. Their part failed because you did something to it. So that's the difference. It doesn't void a warranty by doing something to the truck. It only voids the warranty if what you did was the cause of the problem. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Perfectly. But it would be a it would be a battle between me and the dealer or me and the manufacturer,
it would.
Wouldn't it?
It would. And that was what I was going to say next, that sometimes this can get a little tricky. Because if they try to claim that what you did caused the problem, some things are really, really clear. You know, they used to say all the time, if you put a bypass oil filter on it, void your warranty. And I would say, absolutely, it does not void your warranty. In fact, it makes my argument stronger. If your part fails, if that engine fails, and I can prove through my oil samples that there was never a problem with that oil, then clearly the bypass filter wasn't the problem. And by oil sampling, I can prove that. So that's a case where I could actually strengthen the argument based on what we did. And but there are going to be times if you do things like a tune that you might end up in a position where, you know, it's not clear and how do we figure this out? So there is some risk in doing it. And that depends on your tolerance for risk, whether or not you're willing to handle that. For me, I would. I don't care about warranties. They're a pain in the ass anyway. They'll do everything they can not to pay for this stuff. And when they do the work, they do shoddy work in a hurry because they don't get paid enough for it. So for me, warranties are almost a non-issue. I would rather have a truck that gets really good fuel economy and runs the way I want it to.
Okay. Now, see, when I first got this truck, I've had it just about a month over the year right now. And I've been running 65, and I'm running the hills a lot. I'm on the 84, the 81, and the 77, usually is the way I travel. And my average for the year, according to the ECM computer readout, was 6.5 miles to the gallon.
And oh, yeah, that's all.
Like, I said, you guys are like Volkswagen in their computers with their emissions. You know,
yeah,
it's just a bunch of bull. But anyway,
awesome.
Now the engine computer went on it. They put a new engine computer on it, and I've done the math on it, and I'm up to 7.57 miles to the gallon.
Well, there was part of the problem. So we're getting closer, but we have that engine. You know, ideally, we have that engine getting 9 to 10 miles to the gallon in that truck. It's possible, and we've done it a couple times. We have one consistently over 10 miles to the gallon right now. So it looks like you're on the right track. You have to decide if that tune is worth it. For me, it would be. So would all the other modifications. And I just don't worry about the warranty. I've got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothsberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. We're going to get back to the calls. I am off to Missouri. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yep, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I just quickly got into the owner-operator end of this business a year ago, and I started driving for Landstar. Now, I had been one of those drivers that you warn all your followers to stay away from because I leased on in 2008 with a startup company. But I did it originally to become a trainer because I was following the money. And as a trainer, I got a double paycheck.
Okay.
So I quickly, the company I started off with got bought up by the nation's largest trucking company. We don't need to mention names around here, but they came
got
in
it.
And took away this bonus and that bonus, and the fuel discounts went away, and essentially they were asking us to do the same job for $60,000 a year less money, and I couldn't do it. And just conveniently,
yeah.
And I've been one of your followers. I've been one of your followers for years, and I listen well. My mind works on a mechanical engineering basis, so everything that you teach and preach, I follow and I absorb very well.
Okay.
But a year ago, when all this came down, a guy in my same county was selling a 2003 Peterbilt 387. It's got 1,683,000 miles on it, but he'd been driving for Landstar for 6 years prior, and you know Landstar requires you to do 3 DOT inspections a year.
Right.
And you either fix it or it doesn't roll away. So I've got 4 pages of his notebook showing me everything he's done to keep this truck in excellent condition, except the motor. It's a Cat C15, 6NZ. I just couldn't pass it up. So I bought the truck, and 42,000 miles down the road, I'm going in for my first 120-day inspection. I've got a leaky wheel seal. It's leaked out all over the brake shoes and stuff on the left rear drive axle. In the notebook, I could see that the previous owner had replaced the spindle on the left front differential. And so I'm in the situation where the spindle is worn, the axle surgeon comes out to put a new spindle on it, and he says, if I were you, I'd get rid of those super wide single tires. He says, you're not doing yourself any favor. And I says, well, why? And he says, well, first off, you've got a 2-inch offset wheel. And he showed me, you know, and he explained it to me, and it made sense. I'm putting extra stress on the smaller bearing that's on the outside of that spindle.
Right.
So now I'm concerned. I don't want to be rolling around doing more damage, but my concern is then, do I go out and buy 0 offset wheels? Because
no.
Basically, I've been running super singles for years, and I just keep trading them from truck to truck to truck to truck. So
here's the thing. He only had part of the information, and this always bothers me. It's kind of like when somebody's accountant or tax preparer tells them you need to go buy a new truck because you need depreciation. What they're saying might be true from their point of view, but they have such a limited scope of the business. They don't understand you can get all the depreciation in the world. It's not going to matter if you raise your operating costs so much by buying that new truck. What's the point? You end up with less money overall. So it's a stupid strategy. It would be no different than me telling somebody, oh, yeah, you should spend $10,000 on this fuel mileage upgrade because it's going to get you 0.2 of a mile per gallon better. Well, yeah, your fuel economy got better, but you're making less money. That doesn't make any sense. So he's only got part of the information. Wide singles have tons of advantages. The industry is moving in that direction. They have been for a very long time, and they're going to continue. Do you have a problem? Yeah, but you don't have to go back to duals to solve it. You don't even have to buy 0 offset rims. Take your rims and flip them the other way. Instead of a 0 offset, they end up being about a 3/4 inch offset, and they do just fine. That your bearing and spindle problems will go away.
And then I just need somebody to mount a valve stem through the opening in the wheel. So, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, we've done this many, many times. We tell people, no matter which axle you have, don't run the 2-inch outset because they can be a problem. They're not always a problem, but instead of taking the chance, we tell everybody either buy a 0 or flip the 2 around the other way.
Okay, that answers one of my questions then. And I've been watching these tires. I got 363,000 miles out of this last set of Super Singles.
Oh, and nice.
I don't know if that's great or not.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
And this just, so I've been watching the tire wear real close. And all of a sudden, my left front drive wheel, the tire started cupping on the inside edge. And I thought I was going to kind of get till the end of September, and I like buying a new set of tires to get ready for winter anyway. But all of a sudden that cupping, it just, I mean, it started, and in a matter of, I want to say 2 to 3 weeks, it went from bad to worse to double worse real
right.
quick, but only on that one wheel. So I'm wondering, do I have a bearing problem? Do I need to have those bearing presets set ever checked every once in a while?
You do. And that can be a bearing issue that causes that. I would wait, and when you, I would do this all at once. I would flip the rims, adjust all the bearings. That tire that's cupped, you're probably never going to get it to stop wearing like that, even if you move it into another.
I replaced them 2 days ago.
Oh, perfect, because that's what I was going to say. I would do this all at once. I would get new tires. I would flip the rims, I would do the bearings, and then you shouldn't have any problems.
Okay. Then my last question here, because I'm getting ready to put a set of this, the Flow Below, and they ask you about the offset of the wheel. Right? So apparently that's an important factor in getting you the right fairings or whatever.
Right.
Because they ask you about the 2-inch offset, 0 offset, whatever. So what do I tell them then if I'm going to flip the wheels?
Call it a 0. The Flow Below will fit. Yeah, on it. The reason is
won't
that fairing, comes out from the frame a certain distance, and when we, you know, a 0 or a 2 makes a big difference. The 3/4 isn't enough to mess it up. So tell them you've got a 0.
Okay, I'm set, man.
There you go. Good
appreciate
stuff.
It.
Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Louisiana. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Kevin. How's it going today?
Good. What can I help you with?
Hey, well, a couple months ago, I called in and I got an OPS from you guys through Lisa. And I've been having some regen issues here. I'm at about, 16,000 miles, so pretty soon I was going to send the sample in so I could have you check it out. And my truck has been regenning a lot more than it should be because I had a bad DOC. And then after I fixed that, then my flex pipe was leaking. So what I'm wondering is, if I'm running a lot more regens, is that going to make my oil a lot dirtier? Or,
yes.
I'm just wondering all the stuff that goes back in the engine if that.
Yeah, it's not
because you're regenerating more.
It's not necessarily the regen that's going to cause the oil to be dirty. It's the fact that the engine is regenning, which means the engine is more dirty. I hope that makes sense. It's not the regen that's causing the problem. It's the problem that's causing the regen, and it's the same problem that's going to cause the oil to be dirty. Does that make sense?
Yep. No, it totally does. I wanted to ask you, so I'll probably, I'm getting this flex pipe replaced tomorrow, so I think I'm going to change my oil and start over and then go the 25,000 and send it into you.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. And we'll be able to see at that point if there's still a problem going on or not. But I would guess that your oil sample is going to be dirty if it's regenning a lot because it regens because the engine is producing so much soot that it's clogging the DPF, and that's why the regen has to keep happening. That's also going to be all the soot that ends up in the oil.
Right. Yeah, I was just kind of curious what was going on in there because I got a 2010 ProStar, and at Christmas time, I dropped a brand new reman in here, and I got about 85,000 on it now. It's running real good here. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Kevin, is I know over at Pittsburgh Power, they're doing that EGR catch tray, and I talked to that guy over there. But when I talked to him a couple months ago, he had not done the plumbing yet, I guess, for the ISX. Do you know if he's done that yet?
I know they've been really working on it. The ISX was a little trickier. I know they're working on that. We can get an update tomorrow on the power hour about that. That's a good question. There's the music. I've got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more stuff. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, a quick heads up. We're heading into the final segment, and I have room for another question or two. So if you want to jump in, go ahead and press one on your phone right now, and I will get to you in this segment. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. We are going to head off to Utah. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking the call. Just a quick synopsis here. I've had my own authority. I drove with Landstar for a while, and I just do a part. So I'm looking to see, is there something like Landstar that's maybe I'm trying to do this part-time, like 50,000, 60,000 miles a year. I already have the equipment. Is there another company like Landstar that can do it part-time so you're not getting?
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to do, and I get it. It makes sense. You're giving up a lot of the revenue and, you know, you're only doing it part-time. Honestly, I will tell you, because you're only doing it part-time and low miles, Landstar may be your best option. You don't want to go get your own authority. I'll give you another option. I'll give you a direction. You don't really want to go get your own authority because the cost will kill you if you're only running part-time. The insurance is still going to be expensive. You have all your other fees, and it's going to eat up, you know, too much of the profit. If you run 110,000 miles, then it makes sense. But at 60, you're going to eat too much of the profit up in a fixed cost to make it worth doing. In my opinion, you'd be better off staying at Landstar. Or there are very small companies out there. They're all over the place that have their authority, and they're willing to take you on and let you run under their authority and kind of do your own thing. You find your own loads. You do all your own negotiation. You just run kind of the paperwork through their authority. It used to be that companies would do that all day long for 10% of the revenue. They're doing nothing. I mean, now I'm seeing it go up to about 15 because insurance is getting higher. So, but again, it's cheaper to add you onto their insurance than you to go out and get your own. So in that 10 to 15% range, you can almost always find a small carrier that will just let you use their authority.
And that's going to be the drug stuff too, or I'm going to have them on my own as well. You know, periodic.
Well, that depends. Where did that freight come from?
Well, it's just, I guess what I'm asking about is that, you know, if you consider compare those 10-15% against Landstar's, you know, that's Landstar's twice. Landstar's doing everything, you know, they got everything there.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
still going to have to carry a load board. I'm still going to have to carry a lot of other things that is not done on that side. So I get that part of it. And
right.
That's exactly why I have my own authority before, because I was running so little relative to the cost. My cost was just double percentage-wise considering
exactly.
the mile.
Right. Exactly.
It's hard to give it up, frankly. It's a little bit of an addiction, and it's just a way to get away, and I'm sure you understand that.
I
but
know.
It's
right.
It's a way to get some money, and I'm trying to balance it off, and it doesn't seem to be a magic bullet out there that that
there
fits.
Isn't. I will tell you we're really close to a magic bullet. I'm actually doing a lot of work with a company right now where they are going to be offering insurance, and I may know more about this pretty quickly. They're going to be offering insurance on a trip-by-trip basis. So instead of having to commit to a $15,000 or $20,000 a year insurance policy, you would only cover each trip. That brings your cost of insurance way down. Now, you still need a load board and a couple other things, but that would be the best option we would have. Right now, really, like I say, your two options. Getting your own authority right now, I think, is a lousy option. You know that. You've tried it. I think either stay with Landstar because it's just drop dead easy. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to do anything. You just decide, I'm going to go run a trip, and you go run a trip. You could get that same deal with somebody else. Like I say, they're going to do absolutely nothing for you, but you're only going to give them 10 or 15%. So it's one of those things. You get what you pay for. You have to decide how much of this stuff you want to pay for.
Any suggestion on how to find those 10, 15 folks?
That's a good question. It feels to me like they're just always around, but it's one of those things where they're there, and then if you have to go looking for them, where do you start? Here's one way you could start. Have you ever been on the FMCSA website where you can look up everybody's authority and, all the score? You might start there. It's all public knowledge, and maybe start doing a search in your area. And, it tells you how many trucks they have, that kind of thing. I would be looking for companies with probably 25 trucks or less. That would be a good place to start. And, then you just have to hit the phones, start calling them and saying, I've got this experience. Here's what I want to do. I just need somebody's authority to run under, and you'll find somebody. People do this kind of stuff all the time.
Gotcha. Thanks so much, Kevin. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to New York. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are we doing, Kevin?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, no, the world is still spinning, right? You're going through the eclipse out there?
It's over now. It got pretty dark here, and it was looking a little weird outside, and everybody was standing out there staring up in the sky, but it looks like it's over for us.
Yeah, they're doing that here, but they do that every day here. my question for you is the profit gauges. Could I just use that like as a... I get a wage. I run heavy equipment and stuff. Could I just use that like for budgeting and stuff? Just put in my check, like I put in a settlement if I was getting paid, like I was running a truck, and just itemize everything then?
The only time I ever recommend that, though, we have people that do it as company drivers, but the reason they're doing it is because it's kind of like practice. They want to be an owner operator, so they start using it to track the truck they're driving now. They put in some revenue, they see the fuel cost, they know the maintenance cost. I tell people that's a good idea. But if you don't ever want to be an owner operator, if that's not what you're trying to accomplish, then I would say no, but I have a really good recommendation for you on a program that does that really, really well, and it's free.
Okay.
So if you're just looking for a way to kind of manage your own personal budget and your own personal money, there's a website called mint.com. And it's the same company that makes Quicken, QuickBooks, TurboTax, all of those programs.
I actually saw that in your program there. stop holding the steering wheel. I saw it on there. No, I was just gonna do it just to get it to just like support the network, support the tribe,
I love when people want to support us. I just want to make sure I'm giving you the best advice that paying the $19 a month is wonderful for us, not really giving you any major benefits. The program really wasn't designed for that, and the data entry is going to take time. The beauty of Mint, not only is it free, you do virtually no data entry. You connect all of your accounts to Mint, like your bank account, your credit cards, your investment accounts, your home mortgage, your car loans, any online financial account that you have a login for will connect to Mint. And it pulls all that data into one place for you and categorizes about 90% of it. And it's accurate. And then you might have to go in and fix a couple things, and it actually learns over time. It's a really awesome program. Now, it doesn't work for a business. Yeah. It's not going to work for an owner-operator. But for personal finances, there's just nothing better.
Yeah, no, I was just going to, the way, you break it down by the mile, cost per mile, I was just going to break it down, okay. Like if there was like 30 days in the month, just break it down 30 days, see how much money I'm making, how much money I'm keeping every day,
Yeah, it'll certainly do that for you. And here's the other thing. We have a 30-day free trial. So, you can run it for 30 days to see if it's giving you the information you want. And if it is, we'd love to have you we'd love the support and all of that. I just want to make sure I'm not selling you something that
you
really don't.
No, I understand that. No, because eventually I'd like to just do my taxes. I could do my taxes entry that way as well, right? They're both tied together.
Yep.
No, that's good. That's good. No, that's fine. I'll give a call there someday and I'll set it up. All right, then. Thanks very much.
Thanks for the call. There's the music. Looks like I'm all out of time. I'm going to have to get out of here. Certainly appreciate that kind of support. If you are an owner-operator and you're not using profit gauges, I will try to sell it to you. That's what it's designed for. And hands down, there is nothing else on the planet that even comes close. That profit gauges is the end result of about 30 years of me doing accounting for my own trucks and thousands of other trucks, and we work every year to make it better. So check it out. There is a free trial, no risk. Head on over to letstruck.com. You can check out our courses over there as well. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we will see you here tomorrow for the Power Hour.